Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. You can visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Tom Content, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks so much, Heather. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk about our topic today with you and your expertise. Overall, about the rising energy costs and the We Energy's price increase slated for 2025 to 2026. So before we dive too much into that topic, why don't you give our listeners a bit of a background on you and introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. Happy to. So, yes, I was a reporter for most of my career. I worked at the Green Bay Press Gazette in the 90s. I worked since 2000, I was at the Journal Sentinel covering business news, covering utilities and energy and kind of clean energy, the energy transition. And left that in 2017 to join the Citizens Utility Board. So after covering the utility industry for a long time and kind of writing for the customers of Wisconsin, I ended up taking a job to work for the customers of Wisconsin's utilities as the consumer advocate. So,
yeah, tell us more about what CUB, Citizens Utility Board,
right,
what CUB does and what advocacy means in that space.
Sure. So basically with regulated monopoly utilities, it's all about they have to have everything that they do is regulated by the state, by the Public Service Commission. And so what CUB does is we're there as the voice for small businesses across the state, as well as for homeowners and renters across the state. So we have experts that we bring into the cases at the Public Service Commission that try to make sure that the policies are fair for customers and that the prices are fair as well. Because they're regulated monopolies, the state actually sets the prices for the utility customers of the state. And so we're there. We were founded in 1979 by the legislature, but as a nonprofit. So we're an independent nonprofit, nonpartisan. And we're there as the customer advocate for fairness, for affordability, and to make sure there's balance, because with investor-owned utilities, they have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders, but we want to make sure that the customers are getting a fair shake.
That is an interesting point when it comes to shareholders versus who you serve.
Right, and it's all about balance, right?
Right.
And so that's the job of the Public Service Commission, and we're kind of the watchdog that kind of holds their feet to the fire to make sure there is that kind of balance. So
that's great. I'm sure you've been quite busy.
yes, we have with a lot of different utility companies with a lot of different proposals every year. So it keeps us hopping with a small staff.
So what have you seen in like any kind of recent trends when it comes to the energy industry, energy costs, that sort of thing?
We're seeing a lot of cost pressures coming at at the citizens of Wisconsin and the small businesses because of the energy transition. In part, we're transitioning away from, we're transitioning more to renewables. The utility sector is, and solar is a very cost-effective form of utility generation. But we're kind of at this pinch point in the energy transition where we're still paying for all the older generation plants like coal and coal plants that are being phased out, as well as the new stuff. So we're seeing a lot of cost pressures coming at us, not just right now, but in the coming years, because demand for electricity is expected to grow more than it has in a long time.
I mean, I know we're running our air conditioner this summer much more than maybe earlier than previous summers, and it feels like for longer.
Exactly. And then with things like the transition to electric vehicles, then we're going to be relying more on electricity mm-hmm. to power our the transportation sector of our economy, or of our energy footprint, if you will. Overall, we think that the price of electricity compared to gasoline is actually favorable. So once there are a lot of charging stations out there and more EVs are on the market, we think that that transition will actually be cost beneficial for customers over time.
Once the more of the infrastructure is in place.
Exactly. And we're on the verge of seeing that. There was just federal funding for dozens and dozens of new charging stations across Wisconsin that people are going to start seeing take shape over the next couple of years. So it's interesting to see.
Yeah, I looked at the map of the different stations. I thought that was really interesting. It's in a lot of places.
Yeah, it's really an interesting and engaging time in the energy industry because so much is changing.
Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned this transition of older generation power and the newer generation power. So how does that funnel in and impact the prices overall? And is it in a negative or a positive or a neutral way?
Right. I mean, I think what we've seen is the price of solar energy has come down dramatically over the last 5-10 years. And so you're seeing utilities embracing that too. And We Energies is installing big solar farms, solar power plants across the state, and they're adding batteries to that as well, battery storage to help the grid. But then they're also at the same time proposing more natural gas to replace the coal. So to replace the coal as the coal is phased out. So it's the challenge is that there's, because electricity demand is rising, and expected to rise, it's not just that we're replacing the coal, it's that we have to actually add even more, that the utilities are looking to add even more power capacity. And every time they build new power plants, as soon as those power plants are built, it comes into a potential price increase as part of the rate cases that happen. So we're seeing that now with the rate case with We Energies, and we're expecting to see more of that. So it's a challenging time from a cost point of view.
So the terminology rate case.
Yes.
Do you want to share kind of what does that mean? How does this work?
Right. So basically every 2 years, the utilities come into the Public Service Commission to reset the rates if they see cost drivers going up. And what's happening now in 2024 is that in April, We Energies filed a proposal with its other utility combined in Green Bay, Wisconsin Public Service. They're actually looking for an $800 million increase, which is a lot of money. And if for We Energies' typical residential customers, it would be over the next 2 years, it would be about an 18% increase. And for the Green Bay utility, it would be about a 20% increase. So it's which is they're related, they're sister utilities because they're both owned by WEC Energy Group here in Milwaukee.
Okay.
So that's why they're both happening at the same time. And so that's a real, customers in the eastern half of the state just saw a double-digit increase over the last 2 years. And so if you take the two basically last rate case and this rate case, together, it's about over 30% increase in the electric bills is what's proposed. And so that's why we want, that's what we're concerned about. A typical We Energies customer today pays just under $130 a month for electricity. This is just leaving aside the natural gas for a minute. Just for electricity, $128 a month, and that would go up to $152 a month by early 2026 if this is if they get everything they asked for in the case. You know, when we see these cases, the skeptic and the longtime journalist in me says, well, you know, the what they applied for in April was kind of like their opening bid. They asked for all the marbles, and so it's gonna get pared back. It's just a question of how much. And right. Typically, these increases do get pared back somewhat, but when you're looking at, we're really at a breaking point for low and moderate income households where they're seeing all kinds of inflation that has hit them over the last few years, and some of the assistance that was available through the pandemic has run out, so that there's a real challenge about when it comes to affordability and household energy burden, which is kind of this measure of you know, how much of your income goes to pay your utility bills. And we have severe challenges with that in Milwaukee.
There's a lot of different priorities that are hard to fill when it comes to feeding your family, you know, paying your utility bills, getting to your job, right, with gas, you know, paying for childcare, saving for retirement, saving yes. for education. That's a lot of different pressures.
Housing
costs, exactly, on all families. And really thinking about how it impacts the whole across. That's a lot of important and interesting and probably intricate work that the Citizens Utility Board does. With that, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I'd love to talk more about what that advocacy is and how residents can get involved.
Sure, that'd be great.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Tom Content, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. So, Tom, we've been talking about the rate case for We Energies, rising energy costs, and you know, your part of this is the advocacy and how to support residents and even talking about what residents can do. You know, while we kind of transition into that topic, if there's other pieces about the rate case you'd like to cover, that'd be great to start as well, kind of bring us back into the topic.
Sure, sure. So a lot of the rate case is being, you know, a lot of the price increase is being driven by investments like the new solar plants and things like that the utility has proposed and gotten approved and has built. But one of the kind of concerning aspects of the case for us and for groups across the state is that the utility wants to keep profiting off of coal plants long after they're shut down. So, and let me give you an example. So in Pleasant Prairie, there's a coal plant that shut down 4 years, 6 years ago, and the utility is still profiting on a portion of that, even though the plant's been shut down. And in Oak Creek, there are actually two coal plants, an old one and a new one. And eventually, the proposal is they'll all transition to natural gas. Mm-hmm. But because we haven't finished paying off those older plants, this utility, We Energies, could end up profiting to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars just on something that's not needed to keep the lights on. And so we're trying to build support for advocacy on this issue in particular. And we're joined with groups across the spectrum from Walnut Way Conservation Corp on the north side of Milwaukee to Americans for Prosperity and the Wisconsin Industrial Energy Group and even AARP Wisconsin. We have a coalition that's formed to put a spotlight on this issue because it's such a big one in the case. And we just had an op-ed printed in the Journal Sentinel that kind of talks about that issue in particular and raises the red flag on that.
Yeah, that's That's, I'm sure, a big part of this is, like, what is profit and where does profit come from?
Exactly. It makes sense that a regulated monopoly should earn a profit. It's just mm-hmm. a question of how much profit and how much profit is fair for the shareholders, but how much is also fair when you've seen the kind of increases that customers have experienced, which are actually exceeding inflation over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. So how can residents get involved?
So every year, every time there's a case like this, there are multiple opportunities for the public to weigh in. And we, you know, as a nonpartisan group, we want people from all across the spectrum. We have members of our nonprofit that are libertarian. We have members of our nonprofit that are progressive, who want more renewable and clean energy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ways to participate in these cases. And there's usually an in-person public hearing in the Milwaukee area. There's usually a Zoom hearing. Since the pandemic, they have Zoom hearings, public hearings that people can weigh in on. And then there are online comments on the PSC Public Service Commission website. And so the dates of the public hearings haven't been announced yet, but it's expected to be late September or early October, around that time frame. And because that hasn't been announced yet, we have a page on our website. It's called our Active Cases page, has a link straight to the public comment form that mm-hmm. people can fill out, as well as it'll have the dates of the public hearings once they're finalized and announced. And so if people go to our website, which is cubwi.org, they can find all that information on our Active Cases page. But we think that one of the challenges as a former journalist and in my new role is that this is a really complex area,
mm-hmm.
and what we're trying to do is demystify it a little bit and take some of the jargon out so that people can understand what's going on and help shape their energy future and have a voice and use their voice. Because the more voices that participate in what we call energy democracy, the better the outcomes are for everybody.
You know, I think that is really important, that involvement, you know, civic involvement, whether it's, you know, attending public meetings, attending public hearings, doing comments online, you know, even all the way up to voting, one of the most, you know, basic civic, like, duties that we have. That's really important. And it's interesting to think that that kind of involvement could and should impact what your energy bill is.
Well, that's the thing. And the deciders of these cases are three commissioners appointed by the governor. And right now we have three commissioners appointed by Governor Evers, but they either listen to sometimes they attend the hearings or they listen to the hearings,
mm-hmm.
which are actually broadcast on YouTube now, but in any case, that it's the responsibility of these commissioners to read all of the comments that come in, and so we've actually seen, because of inflation and energy cost pressures going up in recent years, we've actually seen more participation in the public process in the last few years, which is really good to see.
Yeah, that involvement's important. I think that's great. So what's the timing on this decision? You mentioned the in-person hearings, the Zoom meetings or hearings, the public commentary period. Like, what do we look forward to for the next steps, even beyond that?
Right. Well, so the next step is we're digging in right now with our staff experts. We have a policy expert and economist on our Cub staff who are going to be digging in and basically testifying. It's a legal proceeding and a public proceeding at the same time. So they're going to be testifying in the early fall, and then. There will be those public comments, and then the PSC would be expected to make a decision in the November-December timeframe, and that would basically set the prices for the next 2 years.
And when do those go into effect?
They would start most likely be right around the 1st of January.
Okay, so there's some preparation we may need to do, right, as utility users and bill payers, to really think that through for what we might see
exactly.
Just in a handful of months from at least this recording.
Exactly.
So when it comes to the commissioners and the PSC, you know, after the public commentary period, it is just a bit of a waiting game as an energy user, right?
It's a waiting game for that decision to come in, and then that's why we never know exactly how it's going to, what the final number will be until the end of the year, because there's a lot of, even after they make their decision, that they have to, that their overall decision on how much money there should be for the utility, then there's the there's actually a phase two, which is divvying up the pie, which is divvying up those costs among residential, commercial, and industrial customers, the small customers that we represent, plus the large companies that use a lot of energy. And then the wild card this year is that Microsoft is actually involved because of their new data center that they're building in Mount Pleasant. The wild card there is that data centers use a lot of energy. So, how Microsoft has been saying all the right things about that they're committed to paying their fair share for all the assets that are needed to serve that data center. But the devil's in the details, and we just haven't seen all the details yet. So it's going to be a very intense few months for my team leading up to that public comment and public hearing process in the
right.
fall.
Yeah, to really educate and, again, advocate, yes. which is what you're doing. So that being said, I'm thinking this through. You're representing citizens as because that's the C in CUB.
Right.
And residents and, you know, homeowners. And then there's different groups that probably represent those other pieces, like the large industrial and the commercial.
Correct. There's a – so the – kind of we call them frequent flyers at the PSC. So the groups that are most active are the big industrials, of course us, CUB representing small business, homeowners, and renters, and then renewable advocates, environmental advocates. So Renew Wisconsin, advocating for more rooftop solar around the state, things like that, and then Clean Wisconsin, Sierra Club. And actually, also on the large business side, Walmart is a very big employer. They get they have a team in Arkansas that actually gets involved in these cases in all 50 states to try to protect their own interests. So there's a lot of people with skin in the game. We feel like our skin is more important because it's the whole population of the state,
right?
as well as all the small businesses that power our main streets. So we're kind of partial to residential and small business customers, but there are a lot of people with a lot of different points of view in these cases. And for the first time ever, Microsoft is now has a stake in the rate case because of their new data center. So they're going to be in the case as well.
And I'm sure that you know, like you mentioned, Walmart has a team. That team works in all the states.
Exactly.
I'm sure Microsoft has plenty of experience in other states as well. So that'll be interesting.
Yes. And then the other group that I will call out is Walnut Way in the Lindsay Heights neighborhood of Milwaukee. And their executive director has been leading that organization and that neighborhood community development for years, and he didn't know what a rate case was 4 years ago, but his team is now involved in rate cases to basically be a representative for people who are struggling to pay their bills direct, because CUB can't just represent low-income customers. We represent all the customers, so of all incomes and all persuasions, but Walnut Way is there in this case to advocate for their neighborhood and for citizens who are really in some of the toughest, most challenging zip codes in the city. So,
yeah, and Walnut Way does a lot of great work.
Exactly. So they're an important voice.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to know that they're involved. It's interesting that you said that, you know, 4 years ago there wasn't involvement, but this is the importance of. With inflation on everything.
Exactly.
Right? And energy inflation driving a lot of that, housing inflation driving a lot of that overall inflation. So, Let's take a short break. When we come back, we can talk about, you know, what can you do as a consumer, right? Beyond advocating, beyond sharing your voice. So we will be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor at Allen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Tom Content, executive director of Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. So, Tom, thanks so much for all the information that you've shared about what your group does and ways that citizens and residents and small business owners can be involved, all the other people that are involved. But, you know, at the end of the day, right, it's about what our bills are. And are there things that we can do? I know there are things we can do about our own energy use and how to make things maybe more efficient and just be able to bring our costs down by in some way using less energy.
There are a lot of things that people can do. And I'll start with talking about the Focus on Energy program, because that's a statewide program that everybody is paying into, that everybody should be benefiting from. And in fact, everybody has benefited from them because of all the LED light bulbs that have been installed across the state, and all the other changes at factories and other and businesses. The state utilities haven't had to build as many power plants because of the successful work of Focus over the years. But what for your own energy bill, there are a few things that you would start. I'll start with the freebies. Focus will send out free energy packs every year to every utility customer. And so that's whether it's insulation or low flow shower heads or LED bulbs, or they may not be doing quite as many LED bulbs because so many of those have been deployed. Wisconsin is actually one of the leaders nationally now in how many LED bulbs have been deployed. And those are why are those important? They save 90% of the energy of the old compared with the old incandescent bulbs. Mm-hmm. So 1/10 of the energy. So I know some people may have bought an LED bulb and not liked it in the past or it wasn't reliable, but if you have them, keep trying them. There are soft whites available now because I know that's a concern. So those are some things. And then smart thermostats are another thing. And Focus on Energy actually has rebates on what's called the Focus on Energy Marketplace for smart thermostats. And those help manage your energy costs as well by adjusting the temperature when no one's home.
So like a programmable
thermostat, and they've gotten even better than programmable because they're responsive to when the house is empty.
Okay, so that's interesting.
The Google Nests or the Ecobee, which is actually now owned by Generac here in Waukesha.
Great.
But I think, and then people, other than that, it's really important to think about how efficient your house is and how comfortable it is. And if it's not comfortable, it's probably not efficient. So if it's drafty, it's probably not efficient. And so that's where it's really what we certainly recommend that people get a home energy assessment to check out the efficiency of their home. And it becomes kind of a roadmap for projects that you can undertake that'll actually bring your bills down or help moderate these increases over time. And the good thing about the energy assessments is that right now there are tax credits available for just getting that assessment. So you're getting a tax incentive to, you know, get yourself a roadmap to savings. It's a really great first step for homeowners.
And I'll add that our family got a home energy assessment, and it was fascinating to walk through the assessment with the energy economist who went through it with us, and to see the things that they found that we didn't even know were like gaps in our home, right? Where there was holes in our ductwork, right? Where there was maybe heat and cooling escaping before it even got to the right room. And where there's, you know, different places that could just easily be filled with foam insulation and seal up some of these different cracks and the draftiness of windows and siding and all of those different things. It was really fascinating. We did move forward on some of the projects of it, and you know, I view that as an investment in our home for ourselves to feel more comfortable, save some energy costs, and also have a better value when we go to sell it, whenever that may be.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And a lot of people want to, they think about solar as kind of the go-to solution, mm-hmm. and it is a great solution, but it's kind of like the 70-yard pass in a football. But what you have to do first is the blocking and tackling, and the blocking and tackling of energy efficiency is really that insulation, the air sealing, the making sure that there's a ton of insulation in the attic versus what may have been put in years ago.
Right.
A lot more insulation in the basement. I've heard it mentioned that, you know, a house is almost like, it's almost like a human in winter weather, where you want to make sure you have you're keeping your head warm and your feet warm. And the house is the same way, that extra insulation, is so critical, and air sealing. People talk a lot about windows and, you know, energy and the replacing their windows, but so much energy it comes in through the gaps around windows and doors. And so that's where that extra caulker and sealing and insulation mm-hmm. really goes a long way. It's not sexy it's not something that a congressman wants to stand in front of, like a solar panel. But it really gets the job done, and it really delivers ongoing savings year after year.
Yeah. It's not the newest innovation. Caulk has been around for a long time. Spray foam seal, you know, insulation has been around for a long time. Fiberglass insulation, or whatever the best technology is for that. But you're right. It's not the most exciting, but it can make a big difference in your home energy bills. When you think about this increase that could be 18% for a lot of people, if you can bring down just your overall use by a few percent,
exactly,
right? Like your overall use of energy coming down in any small little way, is that's going to help absorb some of that price increase a little bit better.
Yeah, it's basically you're taking back control of your own energy bill by taking steps to shore up the comfort of your own home.
Right. I think that's great. Well, let's take another short break. And when we come back, we can talk a bit more about some of the other programs available through some of the recent legislation, what we could expect in the future. All right, we'll
Sounds
be right
good.
Back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor, and my guest today is Tom Content, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. So, Tom, we talked a bit about some different simple steps that people can take, taking advantage of Focus on Energy and using different utility programs, maybe even going as far as an energy assessment to figure out the roadmap to get started on just being more comfortable and more efficient in your energy use. What are some other things? And because I know there are other things that even I don't think about on a day-to-day basis that we should all be doing to help just bring down our energy use.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that you can be comfortable in your home with the thermostat setting a little bit higher, that can save. You know, do you need to have it at 72 in the summer, or can
right.
you live with 76 or something, mm-hmm. a different number, or 78? You know, sometimes we just run it right before run the AC a little bit before bed just to make sure it's comfortable.
Sure.
To crank it up just for a little bit, but then let it ease back, and then things that just kind of the around the house stuff that people sometimes forget to do, but it makes things run more efficiently, is, you know, cleaning the coils behind your fridge, replacing, mm-hmm. making sure you're cleaning or replacing the air filter for your furnace and your AC. Those help things run more efficiently. And then think about, when you think about a house, it's and your energy load, it's an accumulation of things, right? So the refrigerator is always a big energy use. There are mm-hmm. energies, but and refrigerators have gotten so much more efficient that an Energy Star refrigerator today is that much more efficient than fridges from 10 or 15
sure.
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. Think about and then the other. So think about those appliances and whether you can upgrade to more efficient ones. But then around the house, there are things you can do as well, which is, you know, what did mom say? Turn the light off when you leave the room.
Exactly.
It's just a matter of just doing things that actually can save over time. And what we like to talk about is phantom load.
Phantom load.
That
doesn't sound good.
I know. sometimes they talk about this around Halloween, but it's basically unplugging things that aren't in when they're not in use, or using a smart power strip for your kind of the TV media center kind of thing, because there, even though it's not a lot of energy, when you leave a charger plugged in when it's not charging or things like that, there is electricity being used then. So it's that's why they call it phantom load, because you don't even think that it's actually operating, because the coffee pot's not on, right?
But
there's still a little bit of electricity being used there. So there's a lot of different steps that are simple. Even things like using the sun to your advantage in the morning and the afternoon, using blinds. If the sun's coming in directly into your house, that's just going to add heat. So
mm-hmm.
During the day, if you're able to, adjust that.
Right, for the times you don't want it hot.
Right, exactly.
Like this summer.
Right, and the other thing I wanted to mention is just make sure you're on the right rate with your utility. So all utilities have what used to be called nights and weekends. When I was a college student, I'd call home on Sunday nights because the long distance
right.
charges were either free or very much reduced. So so I know I'm dating myself there, but when it comes to energy use, there's a similar program. So it's called time of use rates, and so if you get on a time of use rate, you get a discount at night and on the weekends. So it can make sense for a lot of people to do this, and more people should be. Our studies have shown that if more people did this, they would save on their bills. So this is why I really like to emphasize this one, because if you can take your clothes washing, your laundry, and shift that to after hours or on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take your dishwasher and make sure it doesn't run before 9 p.m. or 8 p.m.
Sure.
Usually with Wee Energies, I think it's a 12 hours peak rate and 12 hours on non-peak rate. If you get on one of these programs and then you have to do a lot of energy intensive things during the day, you're actually going to be penalized. But if you can shift that behavior to the evenings and the weekends, people can see considerable savings. And it's actually more than people realize, I think.
Okay.
And as EVs come along too, the power grid won't work well. It will get strained if everybody comes home on the hottest summer day and cranks up their air conditioning and starts charging their vehicle
sure.
at the same time with their home charger. So these time of use rates, these nights and weekends rates, are really beneficial for electric vehicles as well, because you don't want to be charging at a high price, right?
Right.
Or running your air conditioner at a high price. And that's something that's always hard with the time of use rates. Is if it's a hot day and you want to be comfortable, you are going to be paying for the air conditioning use. But again, some of the most energy intensive things in the house are the laundry, the
sure.
dishwasher, and things like that.
And if you're a family where no one's really home during the day, right? Maybe nobody works remotely. Everybody's either at school all day or at work all day. That would make a lot of sense. Whereas if you are, at home often, everybody works from home all the time.
Right.
That might not be the best for that family. But to really sit down and think it through, investigate more, find out more, you know, there's only so much that we can control, even with advocacy groups, when it comes to prices of energy.
Right.
So what we can control to a certain extent is our own usage. And I think the word you said is like behaviors, right? And changing and shifting to something that might make more sense when it comes to the cost.
Right. It's being responsive to the price signals and adjusting. Right?
Yeah. I love that. That's great. Anything else we should be looking forward to? I know the Inflation Reduction Act had many things involved. I think there's some more things coming out later this year. We have a couple minutes left if you want to share.
Sure. So Wisconsin is actually moving faster than a lot of states in implementing some of the rebate programs that are tied to the Inflation Reduction Act. So there are already tax credits available, as I mentioned, for home energy audits, for electric vehicles, for solar. But in terms of more rebates and more incentives for homeowners and renters, especially homeowners, I think the focus on energy has been designated by the state as the implementer for these new programs. And so watch the focus, go to focusonenergy.com and kind of bookmark that right now because around August or September, a whole new suite of incentives that will help people save over time is going to be rolled out. And this is why it's so important to, I'm going to just circle back to the energy assessment very quickly, mm-hmm. because if you get the assessment now, and you can get your roadmap of where you want to go with your house, and then by August or September, and then later this year, there will actually be another rebate program that will be unveiled, then you'll be able to plan out when you want to do certain projects that can really help your energy footprint over time. And so everything builds on what you've just done. So the starting point is to get at that energy assessment, and then that'll give you the tools for when this about $150 million of incentives are actually coming back to Wisconsinites through this Inflation Reduction Act. So we're going to be helping to spread the word about those, but that's why I say get started with the energy assessment, bookmark the Focus on Energy website, and get ready for that.
Yeah, and it's just going to take paying attention and
right.
taking some action.
And we have some resources on the IRA on our website as well. So if people go to cubwi.org, they'll find resources on savings, on our community. On our resources pages, as well as resources about how to get involved and make sure your voice is heard with the price increases that are proposed.
Well, Tom, this has just been great. I've really appreciated learning from you about what's ahead, how your and your group are advocating, how we can all get involved and support each other. In what's coming. So if anyone has additional questions or they want to try to find out more, you just mentioned, you know, your website and things like that. Is there, you know, just in any parting thoughts about that part?
Oh, sure. So our website, cubwi.org, has some resources. And we're always looking to help educate and demystify these things. So if we're always interested, if people are looking for us to come make presentations to a community group or a Rotary Club or things like that. Mm-hmm. We're available and want to help spread the word because the more people understand and the more people get involved, the better the outcomes are for everybody.
That's great. Thank you so much for today, Tom.
Thank you.
Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from noon to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and you want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, you can visit ellenbecker.com or call the office at 262-691-3200. And as always, I hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. And remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.